praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one. Appreciate Brother Gary and leading the songs. And that's a nice wee song, isn't it? The Lord bless each one that's came tonight. I know that there's a few people missing. Sister Jenny's not feeling too well, and wee Bethany as well. We want to keep them in prayer. And maybe some others as well. And the Lord bless those that's here. We read from 1 Corinthians this morning, chapter 15. And I want to just try this evening and continue on that same thought of the resurrection. And I know we know these things, but it's good to be rehearsed on them, isn't it? It's good to go over them and know them. And maybe some people don't know everything about them, but we saw this morning that Paul says that Christ rose on the third day according to the scripture. And obviously Paul was preaching from the Old Testament, and then we saw in the Old Testament how that it speaks of the resurrection from the dead. Let's bow our heads this evening and praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight for your mercy and for your grace, for your love and your truth that you have showed toward each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that you'll wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Purge us, and we shall be like hyssop. Sanctify us, and we praise your name. Lord, I just ask for the Holy Spirit tonight, and I take the Holy Spirit by faith tonight, and I thank you, Lord, you do undertake for me. And Lord, I pray for Sister Jenny and little Bethany, that you bless them and heal them and touch them tonight in Jesus' precious name. And Lord, for others this evening that need your touch them and bless them. And for any sisters that's had to work, bless them, be with them. Lord, for any others for some reason that's been delayed tonight, pray you bless them. May you touch them. And Lord, we do pray especially for the backslidden. For those, Lord, that has got cold and it's going their own way. We just pray the Holy Spirit will work on them and move on them and strive with them and draw them to your own self in Jesus Christ's name. Now bless your people tonight. Meet every need in this house. Save every lost soul and heal the sick. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. I want to read from Hosea 6, verse 1 to 3 tonight. And Hosea chapter 6, and we know that not only was Christ's resurrection foretold in the New Testament, but also was foretold in the Old Testament. And the specific thing I want to look at for a moment tonight, and I won't keep you as long, is the third day. This third day, it talks about the third day. Hosea 6, verse 1 to 3. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain and the former rain, unto the earth. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. This prophecy commences with a promise of forgiveness and also of healing is in this prophecy as we read it tonight. To those who will return in repentance and faith unto the Lord has promised that he will heal them and he will revive them. Then in the second verse comes a clear prediction of the resurrection on the third day. And we know that even in Jonah, that Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so must the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, but God would raise him up. And Jonah prayed, and this is another thing I was thinking as well. Jonah prayed, it says, out of the belly of hell, he prayed. And the whale threw him up. And Jonah came out of the whale. God made that whale throw him up. After 3 days, everywhere was whale's belly. He said he was down in the deep. He describes hell. Jonah's experience really describes hell and how he was down there and how he cried unto the Lord and how he came up out of it. And Jesus then It tells us, as Jonah, so will the Lord be. So what we see in Jonah, the Lord did the same thing. And he went into the earth, Sheol or hell, whatever you want to call it. There's different names used for it, but it's a place anyway, under the ground there, where he went into. On the third day, he will raise up that we may live in his sight. It is only because of the resurrection of Jesus that we can have a resurrection. Amen. He's the first fruits. Jesus Christ even said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. You know, when he went to lay his rod, as I said, Lord, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. And then he says, if you can believe it, I am the resurrection and the life. You know, the promise is given to the plural here also in this reading. It's not a singular promise, it's plural. He will raise us up. Us up, it says. That we may live in his sight. The promise not only refers to the resurrection of Christ, but also includes all those who obey the exhortation from the Word of God, that turn to the Lord in true repentance and in true faith in Jesus Christ, the Lord will raise up. This is speaking to them all. Paul brings us, you know, a more complete revelation of it, even in the New Testament. And all believers are included in Christ's resurrection. I'm not talking about make-believers, I'm talking about real believers. All real believers are included. Amen? In Romans 6:6, know this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now many times, and I've done it myself, and I know I have, I'm admitting till you've done it, what I've done was right, but there's more to it. Let me put it like that. We emphasize the name in water baptism, the name of Jesus Christ. There's nothing wrong with that, but there's more to it than just emphasizing the name, because it is a perfect picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when we get baptized in water, we're showing to the world, to everyone, that we're identifying with Jesus Christ and his death and his burial and in his resurrection. It's not just the name, but that's what the revelation of it means. And that's why it's so important that we identify with them in water baptism, because we're doing a physical act to identify with the Lord. And the Bible says those who believe and are baptized shall be saved. So we believe and know it's part of the scripture. So that's more than just the name. A lot of people preach all the time the name. Well, that's true. But there's more to it than that. There's a revelation in it that it's the death, burial, and resurrection, just like this here, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our old man is crucified with him. That's for Christ. So when Jesus Christ was on the cross, our sins, our penalty was on him. He took our place on the cross. We are crucified with him when we believe in him. Galatians 2 and 20 also says this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live, I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So when we are crucified with the Lord, we live a new life. We no longer live the life we once lived. A man or woman that's truly born again in the Spirit of God is a new creature. Not only are they a new creature, they've had a spiritual resurrection already. And we'll see that tonight, that they're resurrected spiritually already. Now, we're waiting. These bodies have to be changed. This whole thing's not over yet, because we're here. We are waiting for the redemption of the body to wit. So that we could say we have it potentially. That's true enough, but we're still waiting on it. Amen. Now, I've been crucified with Christ. These scriptures clearly show that Jesus Christ made full atonement for the sinner. This is the thing that nobody else can do. Only Jesus Christ could do this. Only Jesus Christ could make full atonement for the sinner. A full atonement that God was pleased with, that God was satisfied with. He made a full atonement for the sinner so that whosoever will may come. He took the sinner's guilt. He made himself one with the sinner's corrupt and fallen nature. Jesus Christ, though he wasn't corrupt, though he hadn't the fallen nature like we had, he took our place. And all that we were guilty was put on him. And the Bible even says he became a curse. Because it said, cursed is he that hangeth on a tree. And Jesus Christ, we were under the curse. We were under a curse. And that curse started in Genesis. And Jesus took that curse. And you know that the thorns in the brow and everything speaks to the curse. Christ bore it on his own body. Amen. He died the sinner's death. That's the way he died. Jesus Christ never died like victorious in that sense. He died a sinner's death. Naked and ashamed. They put him in a shame to the whole world. He died the sinner's death so that we could live victorious life because of he died a sinner's death. When we are truly identified with Christ, it is with his death, burial, resurrection from the dead, and in the new immortal resurrection life which he now enjoys. And Jesus Christ no longer in the grave, he's no longer in the cross, but he has a new resurrected immortal now. And we enjoy that even in us. We're born again. We can't actually die, you know. This body can go to the ground, but our spirits, our souls live on. Because we're born again. Amen. You see, therefore, the sinner must accept by faith the full atonement of Christ to be identified with Christ. And a man or woman can say, I'm a Christian. That's good. But if they're not identified with a man at Calvary, they're still lost. They must have an identification with Christ. And when we go down in the water to get baptized, we're identifying with Christ. And when we come out, we're identifying with Christ. We're identifying with death, burial, and resurrection. That's what it's about. And we also are taking his name. A name that's above every name. And there's something with a name. There's an inheritance with the name. So we're identified in his death, burial, resurrection, and we take the name, and there's an inheritance with the name. That's why the Bible says, now are ye the sons of God. Sons of God right now, because you've took the name. Chapter 2, verse 4 to 6. But God is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Verse 4 of Ephesians 6. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Dead in sins. Hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace he is saved. And have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When? When you get saved. You're sitting together right now, spiritually, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Because you took your place as a sinner, you acknowledge you're a sinner. You acknowledge your condition. And because you acknowledge your condition, you identify you need that atonement. And you place yourself with it and identify with it. And by faith in Christ, you're saved. You repent of your sins. You don't go back till it again you come from it. You do repent means turning around. You come away from it. Praise God. And have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. As soon as we by faith accept our identification with Christ and his death for our sins, as soon as we do it, we find that we are also identified with Christ and his resurrection and his victorious life upon the throne of God. We are also identified with him. It's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. We also have someone tonight that's praying for us. Think of that this evening. And the Bible says we have a high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities because we're identified with him. You know, also this, we're entering in through his death. We become partners also of his resurrection. When we take acceptance of him dying for us, we acknowledge he's done it for us, We believe it in faith. We become partners also of his resurrection, plural. It's not just Jesus raised. We will be raised. Because the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. And we're going to have a resurrection. Jesus also told his disciples the same truth in Matthew 14, verse 19. Yet a little while the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Isn't that beautiful? Now we're living by faith in the Son of God tonight. We're moving forward. We're moving on with things of God. But there's going to come a time when we need a resurrection. And we're going to have it. And you know, I've really preached it in other services. The man that's not saved, the woman that's not saved, their bodies in the grave, it goes to compost or back to the dust. The Christian's body is the exact same. There's no difference in them two bodies. They both go back. But there's a resurrection. One's to life eternal in the sense for the believer, but one's resurrected. There's going to be a judgment. They're lost. But they're still going to be resurrected. Now, our soul goes into the presence of the Lord, their soul goes into hell. And of all the senses and faculties in hell, we know that when we read Luke's Gospel 16, the rich man Lazarus, we see all how they feel down there. I'll tell you, it's a great thing to be saved, isn't it? People say, oh, that fella just preaches about getting saved all the time. I can guarantee you, I hope that's what I'm condemned for. And I'll not be condemned for it, but you understand what I mean? When you go somewhere and nobody mentions it, when they should be mentioning it, that's a tragedy. That is a real tragedy. You know, this is why the prophetic revelation states in Hosea 2, on the third day he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. On the third day he will raise us up. We are going to be raised just as Jesus was raised on the third day. We will be raised. This prophecy reveals not only that Christ was raised the third day, but also that according to God's eternal purpose in the gospel. And God has an eternal purpose in the gospel. And not only has God an eternal purpose in the gospel, but the Bible calls the gospel the everlasting gospel. You think of a statement that a man makes against another man. All he does is preach the gospel. And yet the Bible calls it the everlasting gospel. I wouldn't like to be in a man's shoes that says that about another man. All he does is preach the gospel. Well, let's reverse it and bring the other boy on to give his answer. What did he preach? What did he preach? I'll tell you now, some of them's preaching another gospel, which is not a gospel. Paul the Apostle warns us, even if an angel comes from heaven and preaches another Jesus or another gospel, don't bear with him. Let him be accursed. And if Paul warned that it would come, it has come. It has come. There's many today is preaching another Jesus and another gospel. And he says, even if I myself come back and change it, don't believe it. Stick with the original. That's what he says. Now, Paul tells us to stick with the original, and somebody comes, I don't care what group they belong to, and they tell us Paul hadn't got it. We know they're false. They have to be false. They're false on the fact of the absoluteness of Scripture makes them false. And a prophet of God says, I preach what Paul preached. He didn't say I preach different, for he couldn't. He couldn't say that. But he can't preach different. He says, I preach what Paul preached. He says, for Paul baptized and where Paul did, he names all the different things. He says, I done it. Amen. But also that according to God's eternal purpose in the gospel, all those who believe in Christ were to be identified with him in his resurrection. Not just the death and burial, but in his resurrection. And as we do it in a natural way, in a water baptism, it's going to physically happen. Our bodies will be raised up. Because we're identified with him. Hosea 6 verse 3. Then shall we know, we follow on to know the Lord. Is going forth prepared as the morning. And he shall come unto us as the rain. As the latter rain. And unto as the latter rain. And former rain on the earth. Now this revelation is only for those. what it says, who pursue the knowledge of the Lord. They're pursuing the knowledge of the Lord. That's what we're reading. Or follow on to know the Lord. There is a following on to know the Lord. Many people give up. All that came out of Egypt never entered in. How many knows that's the truth? Many of them wandered in the wilderness and they never entered in. And there's many start out well, but they don't go on. And you know the seed can fall in different types of ground. Stony ground, which springs up quick, then it falls away. But we want it to fall on good ground. Amen. The Lord wants us to follow on to the knowledge of the Lord, to know the Lord. For those who do, Isaiah continues, his going forth is established as the morning. That is the resurrection of Christ from the dead. It's sure and certain. That's God's purpose. Listen to this, and I've wrote this down. As the rising of the sun after darkness of the night. And you know you'll go to bed tonight, even though this country's a wee bit dark in the wintertime, you've still daylight tomorrow. You've daylight. And you've daylight tomorrow because the sun rises. And just as sure as the sun rises, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. It's certain. And it happened. And I'll show you another scripture for that in a moment. This, you know, it's parallel. This scripture's parallel to the prophecy of Christ and the resurrection to Malachi 4, verse 2. That's what it's parallel tell. But on Malachi 4, verse 2, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Jesus Christ is the Son of Righteousness. No one else can fulfill this. Jesus Christ, let me be clear in this tonight. This is Christ that fulfills this. He is the only Son of Righteousness. And Jesus Christ arose with healing in his wings because he died on the cross and he rose again. And the Bible says, for my wounds and stripes you're healed. There's a healing. Praise God for it. Again, I want you to see this revelation is only to certain people. That it's not for all men, but to those that fear my name, he says. Unto you that fear my name. Now, it also reads more. It says, they speak. Those that love the Lord speak often one to another of the Lord. They're in a conversation of the Lord and the coming of the Lord. They have a hope within them. And the hope within the believer tonight's the coming of the Lord. But there's a lot of people that say they're Christians today and they don't want to talk about the coming of the Lord. Wasn't it brilliant when you heard Howard preaching on the coming of the Lord? It was a real blessing. A real blessing. And Howard preached well, and Howard hadn't been too well for a time, but the Lord helped him. And a brother guy mentioned it this morning. When they went to the tomb, they weren't expecting the Lord to be risen, but they were told it. But they didn't believe it. And I'm telling you tonight, Christ is coming. And I'm telling you tonight, there's going to be a resurrection. And I'm telling you, the grave of your loved one, they're coming out of there. And you will see them. And you will see them before you go. For the Bible's clear that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And I tell you, you know, William Branham talks about a getting together for 40 days. And another place he says a month. And he types it after Jesus rose from the dead 40 days. Now, I'm not saying you have to believe that. He says that and it points a bit like that. That's not really important. The important thing is, you know you're going. It's going to happen. That's the important thing. And then after Jesus Christ was 40 days and he went back to heaven, 10 days later the Holy Ghost fell. That's your rain. And the Bible talks about the rain coming. That's the rain. The Holy Spirit is the rain promised from God. Which waters the seed, which germinizes the seed, which makes the seed live. Remember Jesus said, except the man born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. There's a baptism of the Spirit. You need a born of the water and the Spirit. Both. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Ye shall receive Acts 2:38. Repent ye therefore and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now that gift there is not talking in tongues. I'm sorry. That gift is eternal life. That's what that gift is. The tongues comes with it. Amen. It's with it. You potentially already have it and you don't even know it. And I'll guarantee if you wait in God and seek God, you can, it'll come out. It has to, for it's there. Amen. There's a lot of tools in the box that's not been used. But they're already in it. But if you need them, you can bring them out. They're there. Finally, Hosea indicates that the resurrection of Christ will be closely followed by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. For he continues, Hosea 6 verse 3, then shall we know, we follow on to know the Lord is going forth prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, at the latter and the former rain unto the earth. And I tell you, we need rain, don't we? We can say we've had it at a time. Now the rain is here, a figure of the Holy Spirit outpouring, divided into two main visitations, the former rain, the latter rain, an anchored fulfillment of prophecy in the New Testament records it on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Christ's resurrection, the former rain of the Holy Spirit began to be outpoured upon his disciples. And not only was a former rain poured out upon them, but the fire of God came and split out into cloven tongues and rested upon each one of them. And yet withal, God was not dispensed or done used up. Understand what I'm saying? Even though cloven tongues of fire went on all the different people, there still was more. Because there's no end to God. That's the thing about it. Now, if you make him just a person, you can't do that with God's a spirit. Now, there is a person of Christ. We believe in the person of the Lord Jesus. Absolutely. Isn't that the truth? And there's the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We believe that. But I'll tell you, God is not limited to time or matter or anything. The heavens are heavens, the Bible says, can't even contain God. The clouds are but the dust of his feet. But on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was outpoured. 50 days after the resurrection of Christ, the former rain, the Holy Spirit began to be outpoured upon the waiting disciples, those who had pursued the knowledge of the Lord. Those that are waiting in the upper room, those other people had a claim, but they weren't waiting. Now, do you see what I'm saying? Those that were waiting in the upper room, according to the words of Jesus, Jesus says, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. Oh, but Lord, why couldn't we go over here or there? Because he didn't say to go there. He said Jerusalem. He gave a specific place where they were to meet. And he told them they weren't to move from it till they got it. And I'll tell you, that's a problem. A lot of things that's going on today. People want to go, go, go. But you can't go nowhere till you have a message to go with. You need instructions to go with before you go. And you're better to stay where you are. If you don't know what to do, don't move. Stay where you are. Where's the scripture for it? Be still and know that I am God. Amen? And the Lord will make you know to be clear and absolutely. They obeyed Acts 1 verse 4, not depart from Jerusalem until they got the Holy Ghost. Amen? They tarried for the Holy Spirit. I have a tremendous book that Keith Malkison sent me the next copy of that. It's all about great men of God and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't properly finished, but he sent me it anyhow. And in there he was referring to a woman that had sought the baptism of the Holy Spirit for 17 years. But one night in the meeting she got it. She sought it for 17 years, but she got it. Amen? Now, I don't know where she thought she had it before or not, but she got it. On that night, after 17 years looking for the Holy Spirit, she got it. Now, I believe God can give it quicker than 17 years, but I'll tell you what, she waited 17 years, but she got it. She was determined to get it, and she got it. And the Lord told them here, tarry until you get it. That's what he told them. Now I believe the Holy Spirit's already outpoured. We can receive it by faith. I believe that. Absolutely. We need the Holy Spirit. There's not enough preaching on the Holy Spirit. There's no point having a big sign in front of the church, Pentecostal, if you haven't got Pentecostal. And there's so many churches today that are Pentecostal on the outside, but they're no different than any rest of a church. They're not Pentecostal. Pentecostal is not a doctrine. And you're not Pentecostal because you believe somebody's doctrine. You're Pentecostal by an experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, but brother, we believe the message for the hour we're living in, so we've got the Holy Spirit. I'm glad you believe the message for the hour you're living in, but you still need the baptism. That's nothing to do with it. Glad you believe it. But I'll ask you the same thing they were asked before. Have ye received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Amen. Glad you believe the message the day you're living, and I believe it as well. But I still needed the Holy Ghost. And you can't show God a book for evidence or something like that. There has to be the seal of God. And the seal of God, according to the book of Ephesians, is the Holy Spirit. And ye are sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. You cannot be lost. You're sealed with God's Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? Sealed in with the Spirit of God. Now we saw that God's promise in Canaan, I mentioned it a bit this morning, the everlasting Messiah made to Abraham first, then his seed descendants after him. And then we're going to look at, I'm closing in a moment, Galatians 3:29. And if we be Christ, then we are Abraham's seed. The only reason I mention that is because that promise of an everlasting possession is also ours, because we're Abraham's seed. So the promise that God gave to Abraham in Genesis 17 is for us as well. Because we are Abraham's seed by faith, we're Abraham's seed. And you can read Romans 4 and you'll get the whole answers in that. And heirs according to the promise. Matthew 8, verse 11 also here, and I'm going to close in this scripture. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. They'll come from all over. And God's got people that's going to come from all over the earth. All over, red and yellow, black and white, all branches. Jesus speaks to the believer from many different nations, backgrounds, coming together in the resurrection. It's going to happen. It's going to be a resurrection. And we're going to go to be with the Lord. And those who will be in the resurrection, you know, there's one common qualification needed. One. That is a belief by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. By Christ alone, by faith alone, are you saved. There's no other way. Only through the Lord Jesus Christ. In closing. I'm closing tonight. Let us stand our feet this evening. And I hope I've said something to just help somebody or even encourage you tonight. Praise God. Isn't the Lord good? Aren't you glad you're going? Amen. And you know the thing about it. Let me say it like this. We know we're going to go home now. We're going to go out and get in the vehicles. We're going to drive home. The catching up's not like that. Let me tell you what I mean now. Me and you will make a decision. We'll walk out the door and go home. We will not go in the catching up like that. We're going to be tuck. We're going to be tuck. The Lord will come when we don't think about it. And he'll take us. Like Enoch walked with the Lord and the Lord took him. And the only thing you had to be ready. And if you're born again, filled with the Spirit, you're ready. You're ready. You don't have to do no works program. Blood of Jesus Christ makes you ready. Cleanses you from all sin. While our heads is bowed tonight, and if anyone wants prayer, just lift your hand up to the Lord, and I'm going to pray for you. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you this evening. Praise God. God bless each one with the hands up. Someone listening in this message, maybe you're not saved. You need to come to the Lord. All you have to do is call on the name of the Lord, and you'll be saved. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the truth of the resurrection from the Old Testament and from the New Testament. We thank you that your word dovetails and brings us a great truth and revelation that as you were resurrected, we shall be resurrected. Father, I ask you for the hands that's raised tonight that you'll strengthen each and every one and meet every need. Answer the prayers on the hearts this evening. Lord, maybe some seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, may you fill them. May you baptize them. And for those of us that had a baptism maybe many years ago, I pray that you'll refill us. Fill us again. Oh God, we need a fresh filling of the Holy Ghost. We acknowledge our need tonight, Lord. And we're asking you that you'll fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost on fire. I pray, God, we don't want some name in the front, some name with letters, but we want it by experience, that we are Pentecostal by experience of the Holy Ghost. Lord Jesus, make us to be a Pentecostal tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-filled people, ready for the coming of the Lord, I pray. Father, baptize everyone in this house with the Holy Ghost in Jesus' precious name. Meet every need. Lord, for the unsaved, save them and deliver them and set them free. Move in all of our children to pray. Lord, you know our heart's desire is to see our sons and our daughters saved. But Lord, they need to repent. They need to turn from their sin and call on the name of the Lord. We ask that the Holy Spirit will work on them and move on them and bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, we pray for your children tonight. We know, Lord, that we are the apple of your eye. And Father, I pray you'll bless each one tonight. And I pray especially for your own people, Israel. You'll bless them, strengthen them, confound the enemy amongst them. I pray even this country tonight for those that stand in government with a bit of truth. Lord, give them backbone and grant them grace. And prosper them and bless them. In Jesus' precious name I pray. And Lord, part of your blessing and make of rich and out of no sorrows till I would come or call. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. As our brother Gary comes, God bless each one. And the first weekend in March, I think it is, in March, we're going to Brother Andrew Beecham. I think it's the first or the second. Brother Andrew's going to come, the Lord willing. So I want us really to pray for Brother Andrew coming, that the Lord will really use him and bless him. And you know, I was crossing the motorway yesterday, crossing over, and the phone rang. It was a man from Germany. And he didn't understand me, and I was struggling to understand him. And he's looking at Brother Beecham's phone number, and he's looking him over in Germany. And he'd heard him preaching here. So I don't know, somebody in Germany was listening in these meetings when Andrew Beecham was here. And he got my number on the website, rang me. He's looking at Brother Andrew to go and preach in Germany. And I know Andrew's preached before in Germany, but this is another place. And the Lord good. You don't know where the voice goes out to you, but the Bible says it went into all the earth. Pray for Brother Andrew, the Lord will really bless him. And the Lord bless each one.
Amen. I'll close by singing the hymn, "There shall be showers of blessing sending them upon us, O Lord. There shall be seasons refreshing sent from the presence of God."